Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We love talking football with Mark Grody. This segment with Mark Grody is being brought to you by Loyola Medicine. When things are at their worst, we're at our best. Is Dave the Cat going to knock you off the air today?
It's pretty amazing, Lawrence, that the cat has been sleeping all day. I've been doing some updates for BBM, and the cat has just awakened at the worst possible time. So chances are you probably will hear a meow or two in the background because he does become needy. I have taken measures to make sure that he does not unplug me today, though.
Thank Dave for listening. You know, it's like clearly he's a fan of the radio show and the emerging chemistry and everything that's going on. So we appreciate that, Gross.
Spiegel, let me ask you a question.
Please.
Speaking of this being the new show and things that are emerging very well with you and Lawrence, are you guys still going to play categories?
Yes, we are, as a matter of fact.
Are you sure that we still, because it feels like in the divorce, Parkins got categories? Because I saw on Breakfast Ball that he was running categories, so are you
was
sure?
He really? I saw he's doing something called bold position. So
are you
really?
Sure?
He took that one.
Okay, well, let me throw this out there, guys. If the category was bad things that happened to the Bears the last time they played in London in 2019, could you two, or even Shane, uh-huh, can you guys give me bad things that happened? And if you can't, that's okay. I was there. I was on the sideline, so it's all very fresh in my brain right now.
It's funny. We were talking about it right before the show.
Are you serious?
Yes. Because
let me go first. John Gruden after the game. I don't have a disco ball, but let me start dancing, making fun of Club Dub.
Yes, ding, 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 ding for Danny.
How about Matt Nagy? I believe called the offensive line gutless, and Kyle Long bailed, didn't he?
I didn't have that on my list. But that might have been.
Yeah.
I think Kyle told us about that the last time he was on.
Yeah.
Okay.
That might be right. That Matt Nagy called the offensive line gutless, and that on the flight home that's when Kyle Long's like, I think I'm good. I think I'm all right with this one. So we'll add that to the list. Okay, but go ahead, give us one for you.
I'm going to go with Josh Jacobs, the rookie at the time, running for 123 yards and two TDs. He was essentially the first-round pick they got in the Khalil Mack trade, and Mack had one of his worst games with the Bears, and he was a no-show in the locker room after that. Zero sacks going up against a second-year offensive lineman by the name of Colton Miller. It was kind of an embarrassing day for Khalil Mack and the Bears and the trade and all that went into it, so that's mine.
Huh. I don't know if I have one.
Chase Daniel, I think the quarterback in that game, I think they lost a fourth quarter interception thrown by the worst quarterback analyst we've ever had.
Did he start that game?
Wow.
Yeah. That's right, he did.
He did, because I remember going to the practice field that they had and getting to do the pregame interview with him at that time, and Shane is right. There was a bad interception at the end of the game that essentially put it away in Oakland's 3-point victory.
And I think he's right that was the worst quarterback analyst we've ever had. I think you're right about that.
You guys embittered by him? I mean, I think he's
good.
I
am.
Look, he's the worst quarterback analyst.
I'm new here.
Actually pretty good.
But Chase Daniel, really good.
Yeah, I'm with you, Lawrence. But,
okay, so there's behind the scenes stuff. He keeps ghosting me.
So this is your stuff that you're putting on the rest of us. Like, all right,
yeah. Well, hold on.
He's in the facility, okay?
Hold on. Go to the facility.
The facility is awesome.
He's our number three quarterback analyst because Kurt Warner's number one. Trent Dilfer is number two. Dilfer was really, really good. And Chase is our third quarterback analyst.
Didn't Trent Dilfer ghost you guys too?
Yeah, he did.
Thanks, Mark.
That was the other show.
Trent's getting his karma right now. We might have to talk about what's going on over there at UAB. Yeah. Students protesting, nobody going to the game.
Things have gotten really bad, and UAB was in a good place as a program before he took over.
Hey, Shane, if all these quarterback analysts are ghosting you, maybe it's time you looked in the mirror.
I need a mirror for my relationship with quarterback analysts.
I got two more on this category.
Oh my God.
Anybody want to take a crack at the last two? There was an injury.
Tanny wants it.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so yes, I think you were about to hit on it. Did Akeem Hicks get hurt the week before or in this game in particular we're talking about?
In this game because it was traumatic for me, too. I'm down on the sideline. I have never heard a grown man yell in pain that loudly when he went down on his elbow, and I was like, oh no, he's not going back in. Like, and he was standing there on the sideline. I was like, oh, I might go to question him. Like, no, this man is not coming back in. I just heard him, and that essentially to me that signaled the downfall, and it turned out to be correct that was the downfall of that defense being dominant. It just was.
You're making Chris Tannehill so happy because he was like yesterday, he was like, you know, tomorrow we should hit on how that London game last time the Bears were there was the downfall of everything.
I love it, and you're nailing it.
You're doing it. So you know.
One more thing. There's one more thing that's stuck out to me, and I don't know if you guys are going to get unless you guys want to take a crack.
Let me get in Johnny Hood mode here. Hang on. All right. Okay. Go ahead.
Wait. You were there. And not you're not
I was there.
We're there.
A lot of people think I wasn't there. I was there the whole week.
You stayed an extra week, didn't you?
I did.
That's the smart move to do, I think. If you've got the opportunity to do it. So go ahead, and then we can talk about what your week was like over there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the last thing that I had, Bears, was that a lot of people don't remember the old Oakland Raiders. That's what they were back then. They were the Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders were there all week long because that's what John Gruden wanted to do. And organizationally, they're like, we got to get set. Matt Nagy, I think they left, I believe it was on a Thursday. It was either Wednesday.
Yes.
It was a Thursday.
They left Thursday. They had one practice in London. That didn't work out.
So that's another way that John Gruden and the Raiders pants the Bears that day. So that's what I got. Spiegel, bonus points to you for adding one to my list here for the next time I do this on a radio show.
All right, good. You nailed the category. You win. You win this episode
of
Category.
I don't have a disco. Well, let's all start dancing.
So Groats, what did you end up doing while you were in London?
Yes. So my parents were there along with...
Oh, they're delightful people.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah, I know you've gotten to meet Gene and Gerhard Grody. So, yeah, we hung out there. My Aunt Rhonda was there, and we did it all. We did the double-decker bus tours, zipping up and down all around. We went to the Winston Churchill...
Bunkers?
Bunkers, wow. Exactly. We went out...
Went to the Archie Bunkers?
Yeah, the Archie Bunkers, too, as well. Eat it! Stifle! We ate a lot of English food fare. We actually found some. We did have a difficult time finding decent food, so we actually went to dinner.
Yeah, because you're in London.
Exactly. We found a place though for dinner, and I don't remember what it was called, but it was good enough that we said, you know what, let's go here the next night as well.
We
did dinner, and we had the English breakfast every day at the hotel, which again are
The blood sausage. Man, I don't get it. I really don't.
Spiegs, I had that, and I went into it with a bad attitude because it's called blood sausage.
Right, and then you tasted it, and the attitude stayed bad.
Yeah, so it was terrific. I still had to do my little Bears reports all week long from London because I was doing the Bears daily update at that time. So all of my London days started off with that. And my parents and my aunt never understood what I was doing. So why are you doing work stuff? Don't worry about it. They still want me to do this. And then we would just walk about London. So it was absolutely delightful.
The whole time in London, you didn't stray to other countries while you were there?
I did not. That's actually a great question. That's the one thing that I kind of regretted because it's very easy. Yeah, people, you can go to France. People were talking about, my colleagues talking about doing that. And it's so easy. You should do this. But it just was not in the plans that week with my parents and Aunt Rhonda.
fair enough. Like, they got comfortable, and you're like, hey, you know what? We're having a good time here. We'll make it work even with the bad food.
Yeah, I'm just glad Aunt Rhonda had a good time.
Oh, Aunt Rhonda. Oh, yeah, man. Aunt Rhonda is a meatball Bears fan. Like, you guys, at some point in time, when things slow down, maybe bye week, feel free to have Aunt Rhonda on. She's got all sorts of bad pronunciations and opinions about the Bears.
So, wait, who's Aunt Rhonda's favorite player?
Boy, oh boy. Aunt Rhonda's favorite player right now?
No, like in history.
Oh, of all time. Oh, history is easy. Walter Payton. I mean, she's a meatball 80s Bear, like the entire Bear 80s Bears roster. And she grew up with season tickets and all of that. So she's been to a million games. She's cut down a little bit on going to the games. But yeah, and then before, one name that always bugged me about her is she was a fan of Roquan Smith, but it was always Rokon. Well, hey, what happened to Rokon? Why did they trade? She was so mad.
Well, isn't he working for like the mayor's office or the governor?
Yeah,
or something?
Sheriff.
Yeah. Sheriff, yeah. Uh-huh. Rokon is working there.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Rokon.
He made Gary Myers sound really good. Really did. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
But yeah, that was
the take that back right now. You bite your damn tongue.
No,
Gary Meyer made Roe sound good.
Thank you very much. All right, there you go.
Ding, 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 ding.
Look at you guys.
But yeah, Rokon, she's not still not over Rokon being traded. So Tremaine Edmonds needs to step up his game, or else Aunt Rhonda is going to be living in this for a while.
Groats, did you happen to hear, when we played it earlier, the Caleb Williams and DJ Moore exchange about bossy and sassy? My goodness, for anybody who missed it, DJ Moore talked about Caleb being bossy. And Caleb reacted to that by saying, bossy, that sounded kind of sassy. And whoo, there was some, Lawrence called it out as like having some passive aggressive nature in there from
DJ. He's been bossy lately. Uh-huh. Sounds a little sassy.
Yeah. So like there, you know, it's the kid leading the all-pro veteran, and the all-pro veteran having to suck it up and say that's a good thing, and the kid is doing well, and the stats say it, and the win says it. I'm okay with I mean, I kind of like the feelings being aired out and being honest about it with a joke. If that's what the feelings actually are, then go ahead and put them out there. I thought it was interesting.
I love it. There is some discomfort to it because this is two guys being very transparent. I'm very interested to see how this develops, but the fact that they can be honest with each other in that regard, and DJ Moore has been wearing it, showing it in terms of everything. Like, everything you see is real, like in terms of like the way he is talking, the body language at times, DJ Moore, like he wants more, to pardon the pun, but I think it is a very interesting relationship that is building between these two. You got one guy in his development. There's Caleb Williams is just trying to figure out the NFL, and as I've told you guys in the past, DJ Moore knew this was coming. He knew that if Justin Fields was going to leave, that whomever the quarterback was going to be, there's going to be some growing pains, and that was something that DJ Moore was shaking his head about, that, you know, he understood it. It's not personal to DJ Moore in any way, shape, or form, but he knew that he would have to live with this. So I think that DJ Moore is pushing things as hard as he can. And I'll tell you what, this is going to sound really weird, but the loss to Indianapolis was one of the more important losses that I've seen the Bears have in a long time.
Because, why do you say that?
Because hell has broken loose since.
Hey,
the head coach had a bad game that day. He did mismanagement of time. The offensive coordinator had a bad day that day, making Caleb Williams throw the ball 53 times. The quarterback had a bad day that day. And since then, they've had this players meeting, the come to Jesus with Shane Waldron, and all of these guys since then have gotten better. The head coach has gotten better. All of a sudden, Shane Waldron has looked pretty good as an OC for the last 2 weeks because of what happened in Indianapolis. The quarterback breakout game last week. So communication opened because of that loss to the Colts, and these guys have gotten better since then, and I think it is because of that game in Indianapolis.
That's a great point and great context, Mark Grody, because two losses in a row qualifies as adversity. in the NFL.
It does.
And they had two losses in a row, with that Indianapolis game being an embarrassment. They know the importance of starting well, especially in this nine-game chunk before they even get a division game. It's like, it's so important to be sitting pretty by the time you get there. And instead of falling apart, they looked inward, they communicated, and they gathered, and they seem to actually have benefited from it. I thoroughly agree with that.
Yeah, and made specific adjustments to make themselves better. It wasn't just like they went out there and played. No, they told you what they wanted to do. That during last week, although there's no way that we knew this during the week because of just the glimpse we get to see in practice, their number one thing was what we were all hammering them for. Where's the downfield passing game? Where's the explosive plays? You're not going to really do this underneath thing with Caleb Williams every week. And that's what they did.
And Grody, the last 2 weeks, we've seen actually tangible evidence on those conversations leading to things. 2 weeks ago, it was, oh, look at that. They're running between the tackles. They've got somebody in the I formation who happens to be a backup center. But either way, you know, Caleb under center, running more direct. There's more Roshan. And then the next week, like you're talking about with the downfield stuff, it's rare to get tangible evidence on the benefits of those conversations.
Go ahead, Groats.
No, I was just going to say, the run game is another thing. I didn't even mention that. Like DeAndre Swift, who was like, people were like, is this guy a bust? Should they have paid him? Like, because I think people were mostly happy when he came here. Mm-hmm. He's getting his act together. Roshan Johnson, they're figuring out what he is best at, and that is probably at the goal line for him. Khalil Herbert, he's clearly fallen out of favor. Clearly fallen out of favor with the Bears. I mean, eight carries for 16 yards and a touchdown. And they told you that by signing DeAndre Swift. I don't think there's as much mystery about the Khalil Herbert, the lack of Khalil Herbert runs as there should be in terms of like why. They told you when they signed DeAndre Swift that they weren't really sure about Khalil Herbert as a lead back for the Bears.
This game makes me uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
Speaks and I have been talking about it for the past couple of days. Jacksonville's bad. They're not as bad as they appear to be.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
And so it makes me a little like, because what I don't want is for the Bears to go into a bye with an embarrassing loss over there. And I guess I'm just trying to look for some reason to justify my discomfort.
Justify my discomfort.
That's a good song. I really appreciate
my love.
Madonna doing that. So what are you seeing that's making you equally as uncomfortable?
Well, just the game that the Jags played last week against the Colts. I mean, we're talking about they beat the Colts, and we all saw the Colts up front. It's not a bad team. Trevor Lawrence had 371 yards. Tank Bigsby had 101 yards rushing and two TDs. Brian Thomas Jr., I think that's a Spiegs guy right there, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it's a Lawrence guy.
A Lawrence guy?
It's my favorite receiver in the draft.
I worry about the Guagis fast as hell, but he can't go up and get it.
Okay. The LSU had an 85-yarder last week. Christian Kirk, we know he's no slouch. Four catches for 88 yards. And like I was looking at some of the offensive statistics relative to the Bears. The Jaguars lead the Bears better than the Bears in total yards, better in the passing game, better in the rushing game. But again, this is another week, though, where the Bears will be going up against a weak defense. That is, so the Bears can go to work against the Jaguars defense, just like the last couple of weeks against the opponents that they had. So they have that advantage. Again, the Bears defense way better than the Jaguars defense. But yeah, they, just like the Bears, Lawrence, Jacksonville is starting to get their collective acts together as well.
And there's some desperation here, too. Kind of the desperation that we saw the Bears playing with in that Rams game. I feel like we've got some of that with Jacksonville this week. They're in their home away from home. They don't want to embarrass themselves in their home away from home. The coach is under fire. People are questioning whether or not the quarterback should get all the money. Like a lot of it, like just it adds up to concern for me.
It makes sense. And you know, this team, Doug Peterson, before this win, they had lost the first four of the season, right? They lost 9 out of 10 going back to last year, did Jacksonville. Before that, they had won 7 of 8. And if you actually expanded back into the year before, they had won 15 out of 20. They were 15-5 over a 20-game span. That's all with Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson. 15-5 over a 20-game span. And then things fell off the table and they lost 9 of 10. But Trevor Lawrence can win games and put up points and also knows just how to do whatever he has to do as a quarterback to win games. And he was really, really good last week. So I understand your fear, Lawrence, big time.
I'll keep crunching the numbers and see if I can come up with a Bears win on this one. But it needed to at least be said. So, okay, now that we've done some game prep and everything else, what was your favorite thing that you remembered about that trip? Because I didn't ask you that. We asked you about how the whole thing, but what was your favorite part? What would you recommend to a Bear if they were like, hey, Groats, Bears, where should I go and hang out? What should I do?
Guys, I swear to God, I did not hear anything that happened the last 30 seconds.
Dave
did it again. I'm not playing radio here.
This cat just did it.
Come here, you. Come here, Dave. You want to be on Twitch? Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, bring him up.
The evidence.
Let people see Dave the cat.
There's DTC right there.
Oh, there he is.
You're a bad boy.
Every time you say DTC, I think of ITC and Inside the Clubhouse, and I'm insulted for them. You know what I mean?
I think of OPP.
Oh, but are you down with that?
Yeah, you know me.
Shane's down with it. Yeah. Should we ask Bruce who he has on?
Streets say.
Bruce, who do you have? Who will you have this week on Inside the Clubhouse? Have you?
What have you?
What did you ask, Lawrence? I'm sorry.
No, it doesn't matter. We've run out of time.
We asked about Dave the Cat.
Yeah, DTC did it again, didn't you, Dave? So now I do think Dave knows what he's doing. Yeah, he does know what he's doing.
He's crafty like that. Great stuff, Mark Grody.
He's crafty. Yeah, yeah.
He gets it right.
Thanks, Groats.
Too many music references now. We can't stop. It's like
Bears. It's a different show, Steve.
It's a very different show.
Yeah, yeah.
Lawrence says one. I hear it. I want to roll with it.
Hey, Lawrence, real quick. Bars.
That's what I like to hear.
Tanny? Sassy anyone?
I just stepped in a big pile of sassy.
All right, you got something for Shane?
Shane, I'm sorry for calling you Shan, but did you like it? Did you like it when I called you Shan?
No.
No? Okay. All right, that's it. That's all I got.
Somebody say sassy.
This is why we love you, Groats. Have a good rest of your day.
Thanks,
Bye,
Mark.
Guys. Bye.
Bye, Mark.
We should go back to London for a second. With some of the stuff that Ryan Poles had to say today, because there was something that we talked about yesterday that we didn't get into with him, and that's Jaquan Brisker.
Let's do it.
He spoke about that. He talked about the rest of the offense. We will take care of that and listen to that next. Stick around. Spiegel and Holmes here with you until 6 on The Score.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, then.
Spiegel and Holmes.
The woo people are out.
Thanks for playing some woo thing. That made me feel good.
Chilling with my man, Rusty Ghost, is a beast.
Wu-Tang is for the children.
Afternoons on The Score.
The Don, as I call him. Poles, Chef Poles.
The Don is the boss, is the big boss of the entire family. You know, so Ian Cunningham is clearly his consigliere. We know that. That part of it works. If you just stay to the football side, I think the parallel from Caleb Williams works just fine.
So what do you have Matt Eberflus as?
A capo.
Okay. Fair enough.
You think Tanny is a capo?
Underboss? An underboss would be good, yeah.
What's Caleb?
Ooh.
The one that everyone has to be afraid of. Like he has to be careful because he's
definitely running his own crew and he's the next in line for the big chair, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I guess Eberflus is the underboss. If Ian Cunningham is the consigliere, either way, I think George is Fredo, right?
Wow.
What?
Wow.
I mean, Ryan Poles knew it was him. He knew it was him.
It's Ted Phillips. You know what really sucks?
What's that, Lawrence Holmes?
Every interaction that I've had with Ted Phillips has been more than pleasant.
Oh, sure.
I actually really like Ted.
Oh, that's nice. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that.
But the whole thing with...
The whole thing with
the stadium that's already there.
Yeah.
The stadium has a whole thing. But every interaction I've ever had with Ted, I'd be like, I like Ted. Ted's all right.
I mean, you could argue that Ted is Arlington Heights, though, and Kevin Warren is Lakefront, if you wanted to take it to that kind of spot.
But Ted is also Lakefront.
Oh, yeah, good point. You know why? It's because McCaskies are Lakefront.
Fredo. Anyway.
That's why you can't have a floating stadium. George won't get on a boat to go out there.
Football boat. And let's go back to London for a second. Ryan Poles actually had a lot of things to say, and it was great to – I can't stress this enough. You brought up the point earlier, Speaks, and you're so right on. I don't know how people feel about Ryan Poles, and it's fair to feel like, hey, there have been some misses along with some hits. I do appreciate that he is willing to talk to you through us, that he makes himself available. Because that's the way that it should be.
It's the way it should be. And I think he likes to talk a little bit. And he's not afraid of it. Because like it's a good moment, but also he's like unafraid to defend his choices.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, okay, well that didn't work. That didn't happen, you know, with Chase Claypool. He was not afraid to come out there and talk about it.
So it's good that he is out here talking about a lot of things. So why don't we take a listen to him talking about offense that does have to do with Caleb, but is a little bit more specific on a couple of other guys.
Yeah, and I really want to know, there's some offensive line thoughts in here, and that is his biggest mistake so far, at least on this team.
Yeah, his openness. Again, we all, from scouting to coaching, we all have these, you know, philosophies that, you know, we have, but at the end of the day, it's about the players and putting them in a position to be successful. So just identifying where Caleb's at in his process. Do we need to slow it up? Do we need to speed it down? Do we need to make decisions like getting in a no huddle and a tempo situation so he can get into a rhythm, changing the cadence up, different things like that. So his ability to adapt on the fly has been impressive as we've gone.
Right, do you have any level of concern with Keenan Allen's slow starting? I mean, he's been hurt. Mm-hmm. Even when he's down the field, frankly, just hasn't looked like the same guy.
Yeah, there were some really good routes this past game, and I feel like he's trending in the right direction. Again, when you start the season, different guys are on different paths, get a little dinged up, a little slow start. But really, I felt like Keenan has done a good job as he's gone week to week here and started to play. There's a couple third down conversions that he had this past game that it was like, all right, it reminded me of the guy that I've watched over the years playing, and he's going to be a really good option for Caleb as we go.
Well, Ryan, explain the slow start that Swift had, and then these really last two games look a lot more like the guy that was on the Eagles last year.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've changed a few things in our run game that allow him to get going. I think as well as like, anybody, there's some struggles that guys have that you have to identify. Like, all right, I got to really focus on improving this. And he's done that. And even in the screen game, I thought we were a little out of rhythm and timing. Little details were off early in the season. And then you saw those things start to click. And then once you start adding all these different elements, you're starting to see the ball get distributed evenly across the field. And there's going to be opportunities for bigger plays because you have to be concerned about the different playmakers on the field.
What have you seen in the building after the Indy game, where it's only three games, but there seemed to be some sense of that this is not too early, where we need to get things focused and on track? And what role did you play into that reckoning?
I got to give a lot of credit to our leadership group on the team, a lot of credit to Foose and Shane and Eric. I thought they did a fantastic job identifying, all right, this isn't, you know, when you lose a game like that, this isn't acceptable. So we're going to get together and we're going to find solutions. And they did that fast. And they took initiative to do that. And I think it speaks, you know, volumes on their leadership and desire to get this team where it needs to be as fast as possible. It's been a little up and down there. But I think, you know, I think it was Brad that asked me the question at the beginning of the season about the O-line, and I said I was really happy with the depth that we've had, and that's shown up. And there's guys like Pryor who are looking for opportunities, and they've stepped in there and done a really good job. And again, with Caleb, really making sure he's got depth to the pocket. He's been able to set the pocket and create some movement in the run game, so we've been happy there. And that's part of building a roster. That's my job, and my front office's job is to create competition. And I think Matt's done a really good job there, and Nate has some things he can continue to work on. And it's, you know, again, there's depth, and as we go along the season, there's going to be things that happen and injuries, so we're going to need everyone to stay ready.
So look, let me talk about the elephant in the room, because the four of us, the four people on this show, we all started out on a board, all four of us, and we're all annoyed by the audio that we have to play.
And that's because the elephant was in the room and distracting the microphone. Oh, no, the elephant in the room is the issue of the audio. I got it now. Yes, go ahead.
So look, I will tell you that one of the things is that we're boosting so you can hear the question. The reporters, that isn't the problem, though. The problem is how that room, whatever that room is and how it's set up, we're aware of it. What bothers, because they don't really care about sound. Like for our medium, it's not a big deal to a lot of these teams for us to get quality sound. But considering that we grabbed this from their website, that's sound that they should care about.
That's just the room, apparently.
It is the room, but there are things that you can do. And sometimes I wish there were things that they did better when it came to this. So, yes, we're aware that the sound is a problem.
Do I need to give you more history on Hanbury Manor, where the Bears are staying and where that podium was placed, Lawrence? Because Hanbury Manor, which is now a hotel and a country club, the Jacobean-style manor house set in 200 acres of beautiful countryside.
That sounds great.
In Hertfordshire.
Well, that sounds great. The sound doesn't.
No. But, like, they couldn't find a room at Hanbury Manor that sounded better than that?
My point is, I don't think that they care. Like, it, to them, it doesn't matter that much, because the press that works in written word will be able to transcribe everything. It wasn't so bad that
care.
You can't, you know what Ryan Pohl said, but for what we do.
Like, you don't hear the questions.
Even with the softening and the compression that happens, it's still a hard listen. So we do appreciate you listening with us with intent, that because of what we're trying to bring to you. But yes, we also feel that it's annoying.
I'll give credit to him on the depth of the offensive line. Matt Pryor has been pretty good. And it's also been helped by some of the Caleb stuff that he was talking about. Caleb right now is getting rid of the ball in 2.79 seconds. His time to throw is 2.79, which is right in the middle of the pack of the NFL. It's the same exact time as Dak Prescott. So there was a concern for that, that Caleb was going to be a guy who held the ball long, long, long. He is not. Highest number in the league is Brock Purdy. Jalen Hurts is up there. Justin Fields is up there
Brock got to get the ball out, because if he doesn't get the ball out, he doesn't really have the arm strength to get it. He's not one of those guys that can make it up if he's late. Caleb is. Caleb's one of those guys that can, because he's not only does he have a strong arm, he's got a quick release. The thing with Justin is that Justin has a strong arm, but his release is not quick. But this year, he's been getting the ball out faster than what he was doing with the Bears, which is a good thing for him.
Yeah, a little bit faster. That's for sure. Ryan Pohl's talked about Jaquan Brisker as well, who has not made the trip and is suffering a concussion, the concussion symptoms. Here's Ryan Pohl's talking about Jaquan Brisker.
Yeah, there's always the human side and the health side. We want to make sure he's in a good place and stays healthy. You know, there's different techniques and things to protect your head, and I think he actually wound that play. It was unfortunate. I thought he was doing the right thing there, but we'll take our time and make sure he's completely healthy and make sure our training staff's involved with that to make sure he's in a good place now and into the future.
But that's interesting that he thought he was doing the right thing there. Lowered the shoulder, had the head off to the side.
I agree with him. If you watch the play again, Brisker does like this. Like
yeah.
For those that can see me on Twitch, he does turn his body. It's funny because in the moment, both Patrick and Olin said that's on the ball carrier. That they thought that that was a case of the ball carrier
lowering his head
and his helmet, and ends up, you know, causing him to be in the concussion protocol and Jaquan.
So while we're on the topic, here's Matt Eberflus talking about Brisker and on that tackle specifically.
We always talk to all of our players, and you know, I've taught this way of tackling that we tackle for since 95. And so, you know, it's the hamstring tackle with tackling with your shoulders. You know, where it's a low tackle. And that's what he was executing on that play. You know, and it just happened to have, he had a shoulder in there and just went helmet to helmet, you know, somehow. But you're always concerned, you know, for Jaquan and making sure, you know, I said my prayers and I talked to him about that. But he's done a good job of keeping his head out of the game, you know, and that was an unfortunate incident on that play.
Yeah. So he's got him in his prayers. I wonder if Jaquan is going to think about the cap, the expanded cap.
I don't think so. I don't think that's how he's wired. I think he's going to keep playing the way he plays until he can't play anymore. And unfortunately for him and for us, I think it's not going to be a very long career. I think it's going to be explosive. I think it's going to be fun to watch. It's just his style. You can't do that forever. You end up in a bad spot physically. And not just concussions. Just a lot of stuff that's going to happen to him that's not going to allow him to play as much as we would all like for him to play.
We need to have some fun before we get out of here.
I feel like I've had fun all day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, what's that mean, man?
Shane, you need to have some fun before we get out of here.
Okay, sorry.
Like Samantha Fox.
I would like to have some fun if I can.
See, you're too young for that reference.
Yeah, that one goes over my head.
Which is good. I was talking to the older part of the demo anyway.
Tanny?
Sounds sassy to me. All you guys sound very sassy and bossy, I might ask.
Bossy and sassy. That's our new morning show. Hi, everybody. I'm bossy.
That's the current one.
Oh. Who's who, though? It's so hard to tell.
That's for you to decide.
Oh, yeah. We'll
hear from someone sassy. Next.
Speaking of the morning show, both me and Chris Tannehill heard Dustin's takeaway from the Bulls game. And
what?
You need to hear this.
Really?
Yeah, you
Let's
do.
Go. That's next. Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.